That's kind of conversation between the soul. That's conversation between the soul and the night.
Prestige heads, and welcome to American Prestige. I'm Danny Bessner, here as always with my friend and comrade Derek Davison, and we're excited to welcome back to the podcast my old friend Brian Pitts. Brian's the assistant director of UCLA's Latin American Institute, and he's here to continue his story of Brazil. Brian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So last time we left on the eve of Brazil becoming a major grower, I guess, of sugar and how that relates to the importation of enslaved peoples from Africa. So why don't we start there with this very dark and depressing chapter in the history of Brazil, the Western Hemisphere, and humanity as a whole?
Well, so up until the late 16th century, around 1580 or so, Brazil really was peripheral, not only to the Portuguese Empire, but really to all of European exploration and colonization. The trade in Brazil wood that was largely carried out by forced indigenous labor was a contribution to the Portuguese imperial project, but not something significant. And then it was one thing that changed in the late 16th century that would continue really for the entire next century, that made Brazil not only the center of the Portuguese Empire, but economically the center of the world for a long time, or at least one of the most important centers. And that was the beginning of the cultivation of sugar. And the cultivation of sugar, which was initially carried out through indigenous labor in the mid-16th century, as indigenous populations declined due to disease. And also as religious opposition from the Jesuits sort of arose to the enslavement of indigenous people. The solution that was come up with was, if it was wrong to enslave indigenous people, let's just enslave somebody else instead. And so that was sort of the logic there. And that resulted in, as you said, one of the darkest periods in human history, which was the transatlantic slave trade, which really was fueled, at least in the late 16th and throughout the 17th centuries, by the Brazilian sugar economy.
Before we go further into this particular topic, I'd like to pause for a second and ask you about sugar. So I know, even though it's not my field, that there's been a lot of work done on sugar, literally, and how it, again, literally provided the energy for early capitalism. So could you maybe just pause for a second and why is sugar so important at this moment, both in Brazil and globally? What is it about this crop that really spurs colonialism to a certain degree?
So sugar actually is not a New World crop, right? Sugar was encountered by Europeans initially in their forays into what we now call the Middle East during the Crusades, right? And it was something that gradually became more popular in Europe. And the Portuguese actually first began to cultivate it, not in Brazil, but as they began to sail south along the coast of Africa and ran into previously uninhabited islands like the Azores, like Madeira, and like the Cape Verde Islands. And that is where they initially grew sugar and sort of gained the know-how and how to produce it. Turned out the climate in Brazil was far better for sugar and the soil as well than anything they'd encountered in the Atlantic. And so that's where it really began to, where the sugar economy really took off was ultimately in Brazil. One of the ways that like sugar really relates to the rise of capitalism, and not just the rise of capitalism, but also the rise of industrialization, right, is that the process by which sugar was produced required large outlays of capital, because you can't just like, you don't just like cut sugarcane and it turns into sugar, right? There's this entire process that you have to go through that involves crushing the sugarcane to squeeze the juice out, and that involves processing that juice until it becomes sugar that we have through several steps that involve heating and evaporation. And so to get the equipment that you needed to crush the sugar requires a big capital outlay from the beginning. And so that's sort of one aspect of industrialization, later capitalism as we would now know it, right? Is that you need this sort of, you need a lot of money to get the project off the ground, right? So that was one of the things. And then of course, like even the way it was produced in this sort of, I mean, most of the work was done by hand, but really the way it was produced is that, you know, once sugar is cut, it goes bad pretty quickly. And so you have to squeeze the juice very quickly. The process has to go very fast. And so this whole thing of timed production that had to be perfectly synchronized. Sugars were some of the first factories, really, if you want to think of it that way. And so in so many ways, sugar is actually a precursor to industrialization. I don't know if it's fair to say that it's sort of that it's the the first example, that it's the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, but it's certainly a forerunner of it. And so all these processes that we think about that are fueled by European colonialism and later by industrialization that are connected to the rise of capitalism.